Wonder if you would please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Starting this morning, we're going to be doing a series of messages on the characters of Easter. We're going to be looking at several different realms of people who were significant individuals, and perhaps even a couple that were a little obscure, but very important in the realm of Easter. And we're going to culminate this series on Easter Sunday morning with a story of the resurrection. So we want you to be looking towards that. I will warn you in advance so that everybody has a chance to work through it and get over their anger before Palm Sunday, but on Palm Sunday, we're not going to deal with Palm Sunday. So do your reading up on it and studying and that type of thing, because I have something different planned for Palm Sunday, it'll be okay, I promise. But the very first character that I wanted us to begin to look at is the individual of Judas. You know who Judas is. Judas is the betrayer. Judas is the one who had this kind of spiritual mindset, but was a turncoat. He's the one who sold Jesus down the river. He's the one who turned his back on the other disciples and Jesus himself. He is the one who was willing to sell his soul for a little bit of silver. Folks, there are many Judases in the world today. And we have to step back and look at ourselves and be totally honest and ask ourselves the question, what would it take for me to betray Jesus? What is it? Is it fame? Is it popularity? Is it a sinful habit? What is it? What is it that we would be so willing to sell our souls for? And then in asking ourselves this question, we need to realize that there is only hope if we repent of that which could be a hindrance to our walk with Jesus Christ. You know, I see it all the time. I see it in young people who go away to college and throw their faith aside because of popularity or fame or just wanting to be accepted by the crowd. I see it happen with older people who go through life and come down towards the end of life, and they will cast off Jesus because they think that, well, he should have healed me, or he should have healed my spouse, or God should have, and he didn't. And they cast off Jesus, sell him out. I see it happen in ministry, where people will cast off their following Jesus Christ in order to try to get the accolades of the people, who will try to get fame and popularity and build monuments to themselves instead of building for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I see it happen over and over and over. And we have to ask ourselves, am I Judas? We're going to look at a few passages of Scripture here today. They're all in Matthew chapters 26 and 27. We want to look at some of these references to him. And I want us to look at six different things here. I want us to look at the deal, the disclosure, the deed, the declaration, the disgust, and the death. So let's begin to look at these. Notice, first of all, the deal. Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 through 16. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me to deliver him up to you?" And they weighed out to him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray him. You see, with Judas, it was simply 30 pieces of silver. He figured that the life of Jesus was worth 30 pieces of silver. What a cheap price to sell out eternity for. But before we judge him too harshly, we have to ask ourselves, what's the passion of my life? What would I sell Jesus out for? My hope is that we would be able to say that and mean it confidently, I would never sell him out for any amount of money, for any fame, for any popularity, for anything. I would never sell him out just to be a part of the group. I would never sell him out for anything. I'm going to tell you, folks, look in your own families. Look in your neighborhoods. There are people selling him out continually. They sell him out sometimes with attitudes. They sell him out with lust. They sell him out with desires that are not to be theirs, with coveting. They just sell them out. With Judas, the deal was, give me something, and I'll give you Jesus. There's an old saying that says, one hand washes the other, you know. And that's what this is. And so for 30 pieces of silver, he gave them the Christ. Isn't Jesus worth more than that? But that was the deal. And the very close of those verses are very revealing as to the heart and the character of Judas. For as soon as they slid the coins across the table and he clutched them, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. His character was a lust for money, for a lust of power, for a lust of prestige. But it wasn't to be a servant and to serve Christ. Would you sell him for 30 pieces of silver? Check your heart before you answer. Secondly, I want you to notice the disclosure. We're going to drop down to verse 25. What has taken place is that Jesus is celebrating the Passover with his disciples, and he's at the table with them, and he comes out in the 21st verse and while they were eating, and he said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me." And being deeply grieved, they each one began to say to him, "Surely not I, Lord." And he answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And I'll catch this. And Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Surely it is not I, Rabbi." And he said to him, "You have said it yourself." The disclosure. You see, Jesus knew all along that out of his ranks, out of his followers, would come the one who would sell him. In fact, the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, we read that very fact that out of his followers would come the one who would betray him. Judas was appointed, if you will, for this very moment. But the decision was purely his. You have said it yourself. Judas, knowing down deep in his heart that he had already filled his pockets with 30 pieces of silver, Judas, already knowing that he had in his heart done the betrayal to begin with, Judas, already knowing that he was looking for the opportunity for the perfect time to deliver him over, looked at Jesus and said, "Surely it's not I." Jesus said, "You've said it yourself." And you see, the denial of sin is an exact duplicate of this moment. I'm not sure that Jesus is any worse of a despot than the liar or the thief or the murderer. I'm not sure that he's worse than the hypocrite. For sin is sin, and it needs to be dealt with. Judas, I am convinced, was trying to deceive in his question. For he knew in his heart that it was him. "Surely it's not I, Rabbi, good teacher. You have said it yourself." Folks, when Jesus comes to you and places conviction on your heart, don't say to him, "Surely It's not I. Instead, repent. Repent and make it right. The disclosure is very simply, Judas, it is you. Third, I want you to notice the deed. Look with me, if you would, at verses 47 through 49. Jesus has instituted the celebration of communion, the memorial that was being set up in his honor to remember his sacrifice and what was about to take place. And he's gone out, and we are all aware of the story of the garden experience. He's gone out and he's prayed, and the rest of the disciples are sleepy. Three times he goes to pray. Three times he comes back. He says, come on, guys, I need you here. I need your support. Pray with me. Pray with me. Watch with me. And the time is done in the garden. He wakes up the disciples. And we come to verses 47 to 49. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up accompanied by a great multitude with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now, he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I shall kiss, he is the one. Seize him. And immediately he went to Jesus and said, hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. Hail, Rabbi. Greetings, O great teacher. Hail. That's the deed. The decision had been made clear up to this moment. There was opportunity for Judas to walk back in to that temple area and throw those coins back at them and say, hey, I can't do it. I can't do it. I simply can't do it. And repent of what the intention of his heart was. He had all this time, but now the deed is done. By a symbol of tremendous affection, a kiss, he betrays him. A kiss in Palestine at this time was a symbol of brotherhood. It was a symbol of affection. It was a symbol of trust. It was a symbol of great friendship. And he sells Jesus out with a kiss. What do you kiss to sell Jesus out? What is it that is so overpowering and so passionate for you that you're willing to compromise your eternal soul in order to have it? What is it? Jesus' response to him is simply, friend, do what you have come for. Friend, do what you have come for. Number four, the declaration. Jesus said to him, friend, do what you have come for. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Friend, do what you have come for. You see, Jesus knew. He knew what this was all about. He had already told him at the table, "You are the one who has declared it." He has already let him know, "I'm aware. I'm aware." But there's an interesting thing about this, because it shows the heart and the character of Jesus. The heart and the character of Jesus is that he still refers to him as friend. Just like he does you and I. Still refers to him as friend. In one of the Gospels it says that he says, "Do you betray me with a kiss?" But the declaration here is, "Do what you have come to do. Sell me. Sell me." You know the story. They laid their hands on Jesus. They seized him. You know how Peter grabs the sword of one of the slaves, or one of the soldiers that was there, and he struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus rebuked him. And Jesus reminds him that, look, this is taking place because the scriptures have got to be fulfilled. This is what's got to happen. Guys, this is what it's all about. I didn't come that we could continue to have fish on the seashore. I didn't come that we could continue to feed the thousands with a few baskets. I came to bring salvation. And salvation comes through my shed blood. Judas, do what you have to do. You guys, leave it alone. This is why I came. You see, Jesus came that he might die for you. Jesus came that he might be able to bring you eternal life. Jesus came that you might have the opportunity to walk in faithful obedience to him. Jesus came that he might be able to help you to understand the qualifications that God has established. Jesus came that he might clarify what the teachings of the Old Testament were so that the person in the New Testament could walk in faithful obedience. Jesus came that he might honor the faith of all of those who had lived prior to this moment in time, as well as the faith of all of those who would live after this moment in time. Jesus came that at this moment he might be the perfect sacrifice. Jesus came to be the Lamb of God whose blood was shed before the foundation of the world. Jesus came that he might be able to teach forgiveness. Jesus came that he might be able to hold life and you and I in his hands. Jesus didn't come to escape the difficulties. He came to sacrifice. He didn't come to sacrifice lambs and bulls and goats and doves. He came to sacrifice himself. The God of all heaven dying for his own creation. No other faith, no other faith proclaims that about their God. That their God will sacrifice for them. But every one of them declares, you will sacrifice yourself for that God. You know, folks, the media gets it all messed up. They look back at the events of 9/11 and they say, well, it has to do with the wealth of the United States of America. It has nothing to do with wealth. It has to deal with their martyrdom. Their giving of themselves for their God, who, by the way, is not the God of the Old Testament, in spite of what they say. Allah is a false God. He is not Jehovah. He is not Jesus Christ. He is different. For his very self-disclosures in the Quran completely contradict the self-disclosures of God in the Holy Scriptures. They are not the same. I want you to notice next the disgust. Look at chapter 27. Beginning at verse 3, reading through verse 4. Then when Judas had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said to him, what is that to us? See to that yourself. The disgust. Folks, I want to tell you something. When the world who is watching you sees you betray Jesus Christ, they look at all Christians with disgust. They look at all believers as hypocrites. And that makes a world who is searching for truth, that makes their stomach turn when the church isn't faithful. Be faithful. There's a lot that rides on it. Honor God by honoring your word. Honor God by following your commitment. Honor God by worshiping Him in faith and in truth and in holiness. Honor God by obeying His every command to you. Honor God by following His principles and His word and His teachings. Because if you don't honor God, the world will look at you with disgust, just like they looked at Judas. What is that to us? See to that yourself. Judas is bearing in himself this sudden questioning. But there's an interesting thing about this. It says in verse 3 that he felt remorse. It's not the same as repenting. Some translations say, and he relented. It's not the same as repenting. Some translations actually translate the word wrongly and call it repentance, but that's the wrong word. Because because Judas demonstrated the fact that there was no real genuine repentance in himself. Oh, sure, he returned the money because he felt guilty. But then he went out and hanged himself. Committed that which is totally against the will of God. He relented. And that brings us to point number 6, verse 5. And he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. Folks, when genuine repentance comes about in a person's heart, they don't throw away the greatest gift that God can give to man, which is life. They don't throw that away. But they look for areas to serve. They look for areas to honor God. They look for ways that they can be kingdom involved. Do you remember? Jesus is with the disciples. He looks at the people. And as he's looking at the people, he sees them as sheep wandering all over the place without a shepherd. And he sees them as distressed, as without hope. And he looks at the boys and he goes, see the fields? They're white, they're ripe, they're ready for harvest. Where are the workers? Where are the workers? You want to know something? When a person genuinely repents of their sin, they look for some way to serve. They really do. They look for some way to serve. And they throw themselves into that with great grace, with great attitude. They look at that with great passion. And they cry the cry of Isaiah in chapter 3. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll serve you. Judas didn't repent. He relented. Judas didn't repent. He just felt guilt. The problem with feeling guilt is it goes away. You've done it, and so have I. Committed sin in your life, and you have that overwhelming sense of, oh man, that was wrong. That was wrong. I know that was wrong. That was wrong. That was wrong. That was wrong. And then the voice gets a little quieter. That was wrong. That was wrong. That was wrong. And then it begins to, well, really wasn't that bad. Wasn't that big a deal. After all, I didn't kill anybody. Well, yeah, I did steal from them, but, you know, I mean, it was just a store. And they have far more than what they need anyhow. And yeah, it was just a couple of little things I stuck in my pocket. It's not a big deal. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. Folks, it's a big deal. What are you willing to sell your soul for? Judas sold his for 30 pieces of silver. What are you willing to sell yours for? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm going to have to ask you a difficult question, and that is this. What have you sold your soul for? Why is it that something is more important to you than eternal life in Jesus Christ? And what's it going to take for you not to be remorseful, but to be repentant? To be willing to turn your back on sin and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To be willing then to walk in faithful obedience to God and walk in righteousness. What's it going to take for you to give up whatever you clutch onto and release it hands down into the hands of God and say, it's going to kill me, but you have life? What is it going to take? We come down awfully hard on Judas when sometimes we ought to look inside and say, am I a Judas? Let's stand. This time I'm going to ask you to please take your hymnals, open up to number 366. Number 366. I want to ask you the question this morning. Are you willing to surrender everything to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to give up whatever it is that hinders you from being what God wants you to be? Just turn it over to Him. Do you have what it takes to live a Christ-led life in a Christ-hating world? Do you have what it takes to surrender everything to God? We're going to sing this, and I'm not going to say anything in between. But if God is speaking to you about surrendering everything to Him, I invite you to come. If you don't know Jesus, we'd love to introduce you. If you do know Jesus and there's something that's just a hindrance in your life, maybe it's time just give it up before that 30 pieces of silver takes your soul. So let's sing number 366. And if God is speaking to you, pay attention. Our gracious Father, we come before You. And Jesus, just as You gave Your all for us, You ask us to surrender our all to You. Lord, this young man has stepped forward in order to do that. And I pray that as he surrenders all, that Father, You will place within him a passion to be Your ambassador in this world. Father, that You'll help him and encourage him to be everything that You want him to be. So, Father, fill him with Your Holy Spirit. Fill him with Your fire and Your power. Fill him with Your passion and Your love. Well, thank You. Now, Lord, may Your Spirit wash over us in a unique way so that as we leave this place at this time, we will leave with our hearts moved, our minds focused, and our love pure for You and for Your kingdom. And watch over us this week. Teach us to take advantage of every opportunity that You establish for us. and we'll give you thanks. For it's in your incredible and awesome name we pray. Amen.